Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 141 for Thursday, December 19th of 2019. And joining me on tonight's podcast is recruiting expert Hunter Nix. How you doing, Hunter?
How's it going, Sean? Been a good day. Really good day for us.
It was a good day for TCU, and that's why we're going to have this little mini podcast. I know we initially announced that we weren't going to have another podcast until January, but since then, a couple things have happened. Obviously, signing day, and we're actually recording this on the 18th, on the day of signing day, so we want to definitely bring that information to you, but unfortunately, the day after we got done recording the last podcast, we had some sad news, and that is the original Killer Frog, Wes Phelan, unfortunately, was called home, lost his battle with cancer, and passed away on December 5th. And we are obviously very saddened and broken up by the news. We're still grieving. Obviously, it's kind of a tough subject to talk about, but Wes has been an amazing friend and family for TCU fans, and it's a big loss. It's a he's left a big hole, and I didn't think anybody could leave a bigger hole than Scott Nix, but Wes Phelan certainly rose to that challenge, and it's tough. It's been a tough couple of weeks for Frogs.
Definitely, we're still broken up about it. Definitely, and it's one of those things where, you know, we're glad Wes got it in his last final season. You know, he's in a better place, but it's definitely tough. And, you know, we hope we can just keep this legacy going on that him and Scotty made, because they started something awesome here. And it's you know, it's kind of therapeutic almost to get to keep doing this. You know, makes you feel part of them, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people always kind of look as, you know, what's the legacy? What am I leaving behind? And Wes wasn't one of those kind of people. He wasn't always looking for, you know, what am I leaving behind? He was always looking for, you know, trying to make people's lives better and making them laugh and having fun. And obviously, yep, TCU athletics was a big part of his life. And we appreciate everything that he has created. And we will certainly do our best to carry on. Wes's services were this past week, and got to spend a lot of time with his family. I know a lot of Frog fans have been sending us condolences, really amazing notes that I've gotten from a lot of you. Want to say I appreciate and thank each and every one of you who have reached out to us. You have no idea how much all that means to us. It's been very heartfelt, and it's, like I said, it's been a very difficult couple of weeks. But Wes would want us to carry on and talk about a lot of the things that have happened today, especially dealing with Baylor and Muppets, and we'll get into that in just a minute. So before we get to that, because I know Wes would have loved this storyline, but we need to get into the TCU recruiting news. So, Hunter, why don't you take it away?
Okay, so this is not our highest ranked class ever, but it is probably one of our strongest classes, definitely. And if you're just looking at a by recruit basis, this is our strongest class ever. You know, we've always been a school that's kind of lived on smaller recruits, diamonds in the rough. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like we're mixing in some of the diamonds with the rough with some top talent. We're taking away guys from the big boys at this point. And a couple names really come up. Quentin Johnson is the big one. We flipped him from Texas last week. He's been committed to them since August of this year. He's a 6'4", 180-pound receiver. He's the number 69 player in the country.
That's
the number 9 player in Texas. Huge, huge flip. This guy is a day one starter coming in. Like, he's going to push for playing time immediately, and it's a huge, huge get for the Frogs there. That's one that we've been really looking for some years, and losing Rager, that's tough, but getting a guy like this, this guy is ranked higher than Rager, actually. He's our second highest recruit ever to Justin Rogers. So, dang, very big get. And the dude is flat out fast. I mean, he anchors their 4x2 and 4x4, and he also has a 6'10 high jump. So the dude is a freak athlete. Yeah.
Shades of Jeremy Curley, right? And Colby Listenby as far as speed.
Yeah, so he's that type of athlete, but he's 6'4". So
Jeez.
you're getting a really, really good athlete, a guy who can get up and get the ball, and he's just he's going to be a big part of what we're doing going forward. And it was a huge get to take him away from Texas.
Yeah, anytime you take a recruit away from Texas, it's a good day.
Definitely. And I mean, he's one of the good ones. So we're lucky enough to get him. Also, another big recruit, Garrett Hayes. He's an offensive tackle from Athens, Texas. We've had him in the fold for a while, but with him and Johnson, that actually gives us our second and third highest ranked recruits ever, and we get them both in the same class. So
Both four stars,
there's
right?
both 4 stars, both high end 4 stars,
Yeah.
very much leaning up towards. They're right there on the fringe of being 5-star guys. They're both top 75 in the nation.
Well,
One's
we
on
know if they had signed with Texas, they would have been five star,
they might have
right?
gotten
That's
that they
how
might
that
have gotten
works,
that
right?
bump.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have gotten that bump.
It's usually how
So
recruiting works these days, right?
it is. It seems like a couple of these guys got the TCU bump down the list a little bit, but yeah, those guys were very highly rated blue chip recruits. I mean, these guys are guys you expect to come in, play early, play for a couple of years, and get a good shot at the league. So very, very intriguing guys there. And then we've got, so those two are huge. Then you've got Patrick Jenkins. We've known about him for a while, the DT from Louisiana. We took him from LSU. You've got Keontae Jenkins, a cornerback from Virginia. He's another 4-star. He said that he wanted to come here after seeing us beat Oregon in that bowl game.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's when he
Yeah,
found out
he
about the
was
Frogs.
the Alamo Bowl
Yeah, he was the
convert, yeah.
Alamo Bowl. So he was a guy that, he's seen Frogs do some damage at the national level and wanted to come play in Texas. And then our last 4-star recruit is Bud Clark, and we flipped him today. It's kind of been a known thing that he's liked TCU. We thought he was going to come here, and we flipped him from Virginia today. 4-star safety out of Louisiana, 6'2", 180, and he's a ball hawk. So we're getting really, really elite athletes at TCU at this point.
Yeah, I love the connection that we have to Louisiana. We've always gotten some amazing players from that state, and it seems to continue with this signing group. And I think Mark Cohen sent out a pretty good tweet just to kind of sum up what type of a day this was. Class was ranked, what, 29th nationally. And I think
29th nationally.
you mentioned before, if you kind of throw in a couple of the others that we know, we're in the top 25
Oh
with this
yeah.
class.
So Jacquez Sorrells is the one who, that's the guy who we're talking about throwing in. He graduated last year. He was a 2019 recruit. He was a 4-star, a high 4-star. He would be ranked third in this class.
Yeah.
If we're just going by the rank, by the number ranking per 24/7, he would be ranked third in this class behind Garrett Hayes and Quentin Johnson. And he was an all Under Armour All-American, ESPN top 350 or top 300. This is a guy who is ready to play right now. And so last year he signed with South Carolina. They changed their coaching staff. He decided that's not for me. He kind of did what Adam Plant did, took a year off, restarted his recruitment, and he's also in this class. And he doesn't count. And if he did, we would be high 20s, and also we're in the top 15 per recruit rank. So
Yeah,
big time get there.
that is huge.
And
And this is what the first time TCU signed two of the top 100 prospects from the ESPN 300 list. And yeah, I mean, this is fantastic. Six different states represented in this particular class. I mean, this is the kind of class that we were all kind of hoping we'd start to see a little bit earlier in the Big 12 era, but it's now starting to pay dividends.
Definitely. This is a class that we can compete on the national level if we get guys like this. You start looking at it, the past couple classes we've had, and then you add this one in there, we're starting to get closer and closer to that 50% recruiting rank, which I'll explain that. The 50% rule is national championship teams have 4 and 5 stars at 50% of their scholarship players. And
Jeez.
we're getting closer and closer to that every year, and this is a big one. So we've added some more guys. Really, half of this class is 4 stars. So very big deal to get these guys.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Like I said, this is exactly what Frog fans were hoping to see when we moved to the Big 12. Because We all love the fact that Coach P has taken a lot of, you know, the blue collar players, brought them up, made them into NFL stars, and he's done that, and he's done a great job with that. We know that's his pedigree. That's what he thrives on. That's what he's done. But I think we all understand that when you get that one kind of player, when you get those kind of players that start off with a skill set that you don't necessarily have to coach up, and you could start from that level and coach up from there. Obviously, you see what guys like, you know, Saban can do and Urban Meyer can do, and all these various teams that have, you know, you go all the way out to, you know, the Clemsons and the LSUs this year. Those kind of players, when you have that side, that kind of continuous recruiting and signing classes, it does pay off very, very, very well. Unless you're Texas.
Definitely. Unless you're Texas or Baylor. We can always throw them in there, right?
Well, Baylor didn't quite have a good day today, though.
Oh, right? Yeah. They just had a bad day. But they're just anytime we talk about anything bad, I'm just going to throw Baylor in there because, you know, I like to.
We'll get to the Baylor bashing portion of this podcast in a little bit. So what else do we have in this recruiting class?
So in this recruiting class, we've got some last-minute changes. We'll go over those because, you know, the class that has been here for largely most of the year, you guys – the people who have listened to this podcast are on the boards. They know who we've had recruited and had committed until today, but there have been some changes today. We did lose two recruits. We lost Jimmy Holiday, the wide receiver quarterback from Mississippi, and he was a burner. We lost him to Tennessee. He got, you know, we've kind of thought this was going to happen. He started getting some big offers at the end, and he seemed like he wanted to go to the big stadium, you know, play in the SEC, and, you know, that happens sometimes. But when you get a guy like Quentin Johnson, that makes it feel a lot better. And I feel good about the wide receivers we got. So we did lose two wide receivers in this one, and the other was Danny Gray, the wide receiver from Blinn, who was a JUCO guy. He was looking to come in and play pretty early, and he is going to SMU. So it stinks to lose those two guys. But at the end of the day, I think getting Quentin Johnson had something to do with that, and I think that's a trade I'm willing to make.
I agree. It'll be interesting when we play SMU and to see both those guys on the field at the same time.
Definitely. But we did flip three recruits today, so we're going to go over those really quick. So I've already mentioned Bud Clark. We flipped him. He's a four-star safety from Louisiana. He flipped from Virginia to TCU. We also flipped a linebacker, a three-star kid from the school from Last Chance U, Indy Community College, where Tony Wallace is also from. We flipped him from Nebraska to TCU. He had committed to Nebraska a week ago, and actually it looks like they might have dropped him, but he comes to TCU, looks like an explosive linebacker. He's going to add a lot of depth and some experience at that position. We're very young other than Garrett Wallow.
Yeah.
So – well, be nice.
He's the kind of guy that he's kind of got the skill set to go and play at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays his cards right. I mean,
definitely. He's not a small linebacker. He's 6'2", 225 solid, and the guy flies.
Yeah.
Flies around. He's downhill runner. It could be a lot of fun to watch him next to Garrett Wallow in the next couple of years. I think he'll push for a spot. And then also, lastly, we flipped a guy from Kansas today. Another defender out of the boot, Kari Coleman, undersized D lineman. You know how we love those.
Oh yeah.
And it looks like he's like 6'1", 220, and can run all day. He's gonna have a motor similar to a lot of the other guys that we've had in the past, like Boson, Ben Manigou. You know, he's got that high motor. He's gonna have to gain some weight, definitely, but he's a speed rusher off the end. And I believe he had 22 sacks last year in high school. So
dang.
You know, he's a ball player, and he'll show up on Saturdays. So
we're thinking like a Jerry Hughes kind of starter kit here.
Very much could be a Jerry Hughes type starter kit. He's undersized now, but definitely looks to be a player in the future. And he could possibly come in next year. And if he does well at speed rush, if they can't catch you, it doesn't matter how small you are.
Yeah, that's so true. Sometimes it plays to your advantage.
Definitely. So those are some of the big ones. We've also, I think this is one of the bigger classes we've signed as far as just big boys, you know. Mm-hmm. I look at it and I go, we've got Garrett Hayes. He's 6'5", 295 coming out of high school. We've got Altreek Barlow, 6'3", 255 pounds. He's a unit, going to play guard. And TCU says he looks solid. They think they want to get him down to 350. which is a good. So yeah, they want to make him lose 10 pounds to 350 or whatever. So, very big boy.
Yeah, Michael, it's good Nichols, when you get those guys in and you immediately think, we're gonna have to put him on a diet.
Yeah. And he's going, but at the diet, they're like, oh, we think he can play at 350. Well, that means he's built like a freaking truck.
Yeah.
No, so. Kidding. So, you know, you've got some big boys. You've got Michael Nichols from Northwest High School in Texas. He's going to have to grow into himself, but he's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's 6'4", 255, and just seems to be coming into himself, right, as he's, you know, right as he's going into college. You've got Brandon Coleman, the German, our first German. We're going to get another one in a couple years, or next year, hopefully. Mm-hmm. This guy went and played JUCO for a year. He's 6'6", 320, and he looks to come in and play right away. He's a day one starter probably for us next year.
Man, talk about addressing problems.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got Jaquez Sorrells. He's 6'1", 290. He was an Under Armour All-American. He looks to come in. If Ross Blacklock leaves, I think he might be a day one starter at D-tackle. Wow. He's got legit size. He's going to get a full off season of strength training this year. He's going to be here in January. And so between him and Patrick Jenkins. Sorry, I was getting names mixed up. We've got so many today, but so Patrick Jenkins, between him, those are two big time 4-star linemen, D linemen. We are loaded at the D tackle position. So got some big boys, bigger than we've had in the past. Definitely. We've got a lot of that size that really, I think, hurt us early on in the Big 12.
Yeah. That's always kind of been the issue, is that from an offensive line standpoint and the defensive line standpoint, I mean, one of the things that we really kind of like about Chucky Hunter, I mean, Chucky was not a tall guy by any means, but man, that guy could plug up the center of the line every single time. And that was the kind of player that we were kind of missing from that interior portion of the defensive line. And now we're kind of getting that size back again, which is great, but also that size on the other side, on the offensive line side of things. So I know your dad's probably really happy with a lot of these recruits we're getting.
Definitely. And then you add in who we had last year with Williams and Coker. That's a good 2-year stint right there. Both of those guys redshirted. So you're looking at some really, really big time recruits on the O and D lines in the past couple of years. And, you know, as they grow up, it's going to be fun to watch, because this is the first time we've actually gotten these big, big time recruits at those positions.
Yeah. And if Blacklock leaves, both these units are going to look completely different next season. So it's going to be a question mark moving into the season for sure. But it's a good question mark to have, because the kind of players that we have, the skills right there, that's exactly what you want to develop over the next couple of years, especially with a quarterback like Dugan. So,
yeah. And then I also want to add size. Last thing. Just size-wise, receivers, we may have lost some receivers, but both those receivers we lost were under 6 foot. Quentin Johnson is 6'4". Let's see. Caleb Medford, who is going to play receiver after playing quarterback in high school, he's 6'2.5", 190. Blake Noel, 6'4", 180. So we're getting some size back at the receiver position, and that looks to be pretty good. You know, we've got T. Hunt, we've got Barber, we've got John Stevens, but we're getting some more big boys at receiver, some outside receivers that really look like they can come in and play.
Yeah, we've needed that for a long time. I know it seemed like TCU was kind of like the undersized wide receiver U, and
definitely,
you know, those guys are fast and quick, and it's nice, and it's great to see explosive guys like Kevontae Turpin that were out there, but unfortunately, in this kind of league, you've got to have size. Especially if you want to give your quarterback a chance, especially if your offensive line can't block as well as we've seen the last 2 years. So that's going to be really nice to see as an upgrade to our wide receiver line. And I agree with you. We lost some guys, but I like the guys we got.
I do. I think this is very much one of the best. I mean, this is top to bottom one of the best classes we've ever had. There's nobody that's just, you're going, who is this guy? I've never heard of him. You know, you've got a couple guys who are lower ranked, but they had offers from big schools, and we were just able to keep them. You know, this coaching staff has done really well, especially coming off a 5-7 season, keeping these guys committed and bringing in those last ones in the fold.
Yeah, that does bring up a really good point. And I know there was a lot of consternation over the last few weeks, given the situation with the staff. And we can go into that a little bit later on, because looks like there's going to be an update to the staff here pretty quick. But I know that recruiting, especially this time of the year, is so important. And to see what this staff has been able to do, even given the last two seasons, which have been rather underwhelming, I think we'd all agree. I mean, the Cheez-Its Bowl last year was fun, don't get me wrong. But honestly, last year and this year, you know, having to come down to the very last game to see whether or not you're bowl eligible is not exactly what TCU fans were expecting. And we don't want to see that repeated for a third time. But usually when you have seasons like that, your recruiting class implodes. Mm-hmm. And not only did we keep a lot of the guys that we were hoping to keep, we switched a lot of guys, which is, I don't know how many other teams out there that have those kind of these last two seasons like we've had that could pull that off.
There's not many. And I think, honestly, this is we're starting to get at the point where TCU is not known as little old TCU anymore. Mm-hmm. We joined the Big 12 in 2012.
Yes.
So these guys were 11 years old when that happened. They don't know, they don't know TCU is the small little school anymore. TCU is a Big 12 school who was pretty good as they were growing up. And, even though the last 2 years haven't gone that great, I think we're starting to see that change in the kids' recruits' minds. You know, it's not so much, oh, well, TCU, they're kind of the underdog. TCU is a dang good place to play, and I think it's starting to get realized.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think especially the way that there's no such thing as a good loss, but the way that we lost this year, I think mm-hmm. a lot of recruits saw that and thought they're right there. They're close enough. They can compete with the likes of Oklahoma. They beat Texas. Sure. They can compete with, the top end of that particular league. They had a down year. They had some issues, but maybe I'm the guy who can come in the piece to make it all work out. And I think that's a lot of what the recruits are actually saying. I'm sure that's what the staff is telling them as well. So
exactly.
And it's true. It just takes a couple of players here and there, and next thing you know, we're back pushing for playoffs.
Definitely. That's why having Dugan this year, even though it was a rough run as a freshman, and he had his up and downs, you can see that next year is going to be better, and I think the recruits can see that as well. That's why we signed such high offensive talent. I mean, our biggest two recruits right now are offensive guys, and we were not a good offense last year.
No.
But it's the two dudes that could come in and help that quarterback right away, and that two guys in this offense could make a huge difference. So very much, very, very happy with all these guys.
Oh, especially if Max gets to practice with them from day one. I mean,
exactly.
So these guys are going to be, some of them are going to show up next month, and mm-hmm. so immediate help. And that's, man, that's great. It's been you're right. Start off, this was a great day for TCU.
Definitely. And then now we can move to some other recruiting or just other miscellaneous news.
So I'm curious. So, with recruiting day, you've got all these sort of gags and these different ways to try to draw attention to things that are happening. Like K-State did something on social media with like Legos, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you can almost put that together. Like, hey, we're building a program. Legos, right. They build something like that.
Yeah. It makes sense. And then you go to Baylor.
And then you have Baylor, and they're using demented Jim Henson Muppets.
I wish. The jokes almost write themselves at this point, don't they?
Like, what a bunch of nerds, Like, Baylor, we were almost starting to even like you. Like, we're like, hey.
No, and now we tap the brakes.
We like Coach Rhule. Yeah. He's done a good job there. And then we see them go and do this, and I'm like, you guys, you just make this too easy for us. Uh-huh. So if any of you haven't seen, since this is an
audio media, podcast, yes.
Yeah, Baylor, they announced, usually on Twitter now, it's a big deal to get your name on there. They show your highlights when you sign, maybe show you a picture in the gear. And that's what you get on Twitter. Well, Baylor decided to go a different way this year. They did puppets for each recruit. They did puppet announcements. And so you've got one, I think it was Seth Jones, who was one of the receivers. He's driving around as a puppet. They've got a puppet of Seth Jones in like one of those little cars that you buy your toddlers. He's doing like wheelies and that. You've got one guy, I think James Sylvester is like announcing his commitment to Baylor. You've just got a lot of really weird puppet interactions going on. The puppets are like beating their chest, like they open, they'll be like, "Yeah, I'm committing to Baylor," and the puppet's beating their chest, like, "Yeah, pick this school." And I'm just thinking, this is the least cool thing. Like, maybe that's why. So Baylor did not have a great day, mind you. They only signed 15. They had like five guys not sign today.
Yeah,
And
because one guy was on his way to Africa.
yes, that is the excuse that they didn't know that one of their own recruits wasn't going to be able to sign because he told them this morning he's going to Africa. So that's the day Baylor had. First off, you got demented puppets. Then you have kids who are like not even, they've got one other offer and they're not signing with Baylor.
Well, I
So.
think you mentioned like the puppet, and just to kind of fill out this mental image for those who are listening. Imagine Sesame Street
Yes.
set in Waco. That's pretty much what we got, right?
That's pretty much it.
I mean, for those, Gen Xers out there, remember the Penny Hardaway commercial with the Muppet, out there doing his thing. That's pretty much the vibe they were going with. And these Muppets are like lifting weights, or they have hoodies
Yeah.
on and they're listening to music with like Beats headphones and stuff. And
Walking into the locker room and they all have like
right.
fake little Jordans on and like streetwear and like they look cool. I'm doing air quotes here.
Air quotes,
Cool.
yeah.
Air quotes. Cool. Yeah, it just was so bizarre. And I mean, hey, if they wanted people to talk about them, they got it,
Oh
but
yeah.
it was not in the
Not in a
way
good
that
way.
they, not in the way that they wanted to.
Nope. I almost wanted to tweet out, you've got that meme with Kermit the Frog drinking iced tea. That's kind of like,
Oh yeah.
TCU's got a top recruiting class and Baylor's at the bottom of the Big 12, but that's none of my business.
Yeah,
It's
so
like,
just to go into
golly.
to get out of the puppets with Baylor, just to talk about their class, they had 15 recruit or 15 commits. We also had 15. They were talking about how their class was so low today. They are last in the Big 12, which is kind of surprising, honestly.
Where they should be.
Yes, but very happy about it. They're last in the Big 12 in recruiting, with 15 recruits. We are third in the Big 12 with 15 recruits. So, that's just the gap that we've built against Baylor, even with them going 11-2 at this point. Yeah, 11-2 last year. But Baylor just seems like it kind of is imploding. And I have to wonder if I feel like everyone has to be negatively recruiting them, saying rule's gone, right?
Yeah, you would think.
I feel like that's the main thing that's being happening to them, but it couldn't happen to a better place. So,
Yeah, maybe what it is that after all those years of promising a Papados in Waco and not delivering, maybe
it's
that's
true.
finally, I'm sorry,
Papa
inside
knows
forum joke there.
in and out.
But yeah, it's interesting. And even if you go into the fact that you were number three, if you know what, we're behind Oklahoma and Texas, right?
Oklahoma and Texas.
And if you see obviously what Texas has done with their recruiting class since we've joined the Big 12 and what we've been able to do against Texas, last year notwithstanding, you can almost kind of make the argument that we're kind of number two in the Big 12.
Yeah, I really think the guys we're getting the right guys at the right places for our higher ranked recruits. And then we're seeing, our Darius Washington a year ago or 2 years ago was one of our lower ranked recruits, and this year he came out and he was a freshman All-American.
That's
So
awesome.
we're still getting those diamond in the rough guys, the guys who kind of are falling through the cracks at the big schools. And we've got the chip on the shoulder guys, but then you add them to, a couple of years ago, Trevon Moore was a highly ranked guy, and then he was the best safety in all of football according to Pro Football Focus. So, we're mixing in. You've got two of our three safeties are very young guys, two very different recruits, but they're both playing very well at TCU.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And again, that just goes to show, I mean, not only are we trying to go after the kind of recruits that we need to build into a playoff style team, a team that can go toe to toe with Oklahoma year in and year out for the championship for this particular conference, but we're also going after, we're not abandoning our roots. We're still going after those guys that we know that we can flip, the kind of guys that Patterson loves to go after, that they're coming out of high school in one position, he's flipping them into another position. You got the quarterbacks that he loves to throw into and make safeties out of and make linebackers out of. Those are the kind of guys that I love watching play. And just know that we're not abandoning that just because we have access to higher level recruits. Tells you everything you need to know about Patterson and recruiting at TCU, and that's a good thing.
Definitely. Like, I know Coach P gives zero crap about what this recruiting ranking is. He doesn't care one bit. We're getting some higher ranked guys, but he doesn't care about that. He wants guys who want to be TCU football players, and it just so happens we're starting to get some higher talent to do so. So it's pretty exciting.
It is, and it's going to be fun to watch these guys over the next few years. So, guys, if you're listening to us, welcome to TCU. Welcome to Funky Town. We can't wait to watch you guys play and beat up on the Big 12 in the next few years. And with that, though, we did – yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I just got one more thing recruiting, and then we're done. So I just want to say – so we look at the recruiting classes of the Big 12, just real quick. There are 6 4 stars in our class with Sorrells, the guy from last year's class that doesn't count but is a true freshman. We have 6, and then everyone ranked after us in the conference, other than Texas and OU, they also have 6 4 stars. So that's just the type of difference. We're up in the top level of the recruiting in this conference, not even close to the bottom. So our best 5, our best 6 are better than almost the rest of the conference's 6 outside of Texas and OU. So I think that just can show you, you know, we've passed up Oklahoma State in this. We've passed up a lot of those other schools. Really, we're just behind the 2 big state schools. So TCU has really come up in recruiting.
Yeah,
this hasn't been huge. That's a big number. We're better than almost, 3/4 of the conference.
Well, 7 years into the conference, I know Coach Patterson, when we first came in and we're sitting in the team room, and he made the announcement, he was talking about how, this is like a 5-year plan. You can't really expect too much until about 5 years into it. And we got 5 years in, and we're kind of like, we had that one really good year in 2014, and things have kind of been a little up and down. But now 7 years in, we're starting to see that kind of continuous recruiting class. And going back to what you were talking about, some of the people that redshirted this year, that last recruiting class was amazing. And we already saw what some of those guys were able to do that did get playing time. I can't wait to see what those guys who actually are going to see the field this next season are going to be able to do, plus some of the guys from this recruiting class that are going to be ready to go on day one. So, we hit that 5-year mark. Our recruiting started to hit. We're now going to start seeing those guys here in year 8, and it's going to be really exciting to see it.
For sure. So, last thing, looking forward, we've got 2 guys who were really just keep their name, keep these guys in mind when we talk about the February signing day. That is Savion Williams. He's from Marshall. He's a wide receiver. We're looking to fill wide receiver spots after those 2 guys left. We'll probably sign 1 to 2 more, maybe a D end. But the 2 names you really need to know now, Savion Williams from Marshall. He's 6'4.5", 200-pound wide receiver from Marshall, Texas. He was committed to Arkansas and then decided after they lost their coaching staff, he wants to wait until late signing day. And then also Corey Wren. He's a smaller wide receiver from John Curtis in New Orleans. He's 5'9", 170, and he's got offers from Arizona State, U of H, Maryland, Florida State, and Tennessee. So we'll be fighting those schools going forward. But, it was a good day, and hopefully we can move on this for February.
Yeah, I agree. It's great to see, and it's going to be an interesting offseason, that's for sure. But one staffing change, though, that just came up, it looks like Coach Looper is on his way to Mizzou.
Yes, it does. There's been nothing from our side yet, but there's multiple outlets on the Mizzou side saying that it looks like he is coming to Mizzou to be the OC there, and he will not be
the co-OC.
Not the co-OC. He's going to be his own offensive coordinator at Missouri, back with Sean Robinson. I hope they have the best time together. We wish you well, Coach Loop. He's been awesome here. But, let's see what this means for our staff, though. Does it mean we're getting a co-OC?
Or does Cumbie become the
Or does Cumbie
OC?
become the OC, and
Yeah.
then it is squarely all on his shoulders. So,
Yeah, I don't know if this is exactly the outcome a lot of Frog fans were hoping for when we were talking about possible staffing changes in the offseason. But it, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if the fact that Cumbie is still on staff means that Coach Patterson believes that there's something there that Cumbie has done that's worth, you know, worth keeping him on this staff. I don't know if that's just because he seems to be his personal verbal punching bag on the sideline, but whatever it is, Cumbie certainly seems to have earned his spot on this staff, and is, as of right now, he's still with us, and I don't know what that means coming forward, but you're right. I mean, if we have another disastrous year on offense, I don't know how either Cumbie or Coach Patterson survives the wrath of the fans.
Yeah, definitely. Cumbie's in the hot seat right now. I would love to say that I wouldn't love to say GP is, but GP, you know, he's not going to leave anytime soon. And if he does, it's going to be on his own accord. But Cumbie, on the other hand, he's going to have to step up this year. You know, we're going to probably give him the pass in the last 2 years just because it has been 2 years ago. We were injuries everywhere. It happens. It does. And then last year, you've got a freshman quarterback, but he did show promise. And that's what we're kind of hoping for with Cumbie at this point. This freshman quarterback,
bad offensive line.
Bad offensive line, injuries on the offensive line. I think you definitely saw a difference whenever Lucas Niang left. No doubt you did. It just wasn't the same offense. So you hope that we keep progressing, and that also Coach Cumbie keeps progressing. This is maybe the most freedom he's had on offense, or if you can call what we do freedom, but maybe the most control. But it's his offense now. This is his baby. You know, he's the lone guy as of now, so it's going to be a lot more in his hands.
Yeah, it will be. And we're hoping for good things.
Definitely.
Obviously, there was something to him being on staff back in that 2014 season.
Yep.
I don't know how much of that was him. There's a lot of speculation between him and Meacham and back and forth and everything that was going on between that. Obviously, we saw what's happened the last 2 years. I don't know, but I tell you what, if Patterson says he's worth keeping on, I do trust Patterson. But at the same time, you know, there's a limit to how much the fans are going to want to continue trusting Patterson if we have another season like we've had the last two, especially if it doesn't become an injury-prone situation or we're, you know, testing out yet another new quarterback at that position in 2020. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see, but I think this is going to be a lot better football team next year. Just, I mean, if nothing else, I think just with the age we were last year, we were a really young team. We had some stars and some big positions that were seniors, but you've got some really, really good talent coming up, and then at some very key spots, quarterback being the most important one, we've got he's our guy. You know, I think that Matthew Baldwin will get every shot in spring, but I think if he can beat out Max Dugan, then he's a really good player. So
yeah, especially with a year under his belt.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that'll be able to happen. Did you see Mike Collins found a home?
Was it Rice?
Yes, right. Yeah. I think that'll be good for him. I'm excited for Collins. We've always liked
him.
I'm
happy for him. Yeah,
he's a great guy. Happy for him. Obviously, the dude's smart as crap, though. I mean, he went to Penn first and then TCU. TCU is like his fallback school.
Yeah,
and
right?
He's got two really, really good academic schools, and hopefully he goes in there and lights it up next year. I think they start with LSU, so hopefully he can beat them early in the season, you know?
Yeah, you know, as a guy who actually holds a degree to TCU, it's kind of hard to say, you know, that TCU is the fallback of those three choices. But, you know, I got to be honest with myself. For a guy who graduates and then is heading to Rice, I mean, that's great for him. Obviously, he's got some great academic opportunities there. So, yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
I wish him
like
all the best.
Seems like no matter what he does, he's going to be doing pretty well in life. So, you know.
Very
and then
true.
I think the last thing we really need to talk about is OU.
Yeah, so this is an interesting development. So what the OU gets what randomly drug tested.
Yes, which I will say that is a thing that happens. If you
Yeah.
are me as a person, I was drug tested 18 times in college. So
Right.
3 by the NCAA, 1 during my bowl week, others just randomly. But the NCAA will test before major competitions like playoff games. And usually these tests are only for steroids. But whenever it's before a bowl game or something like that, they do all street drugs. Well, there was some THC that I know it's medically legal in Oklahoma now, but these guys are not on that plan.
Wait, are you
And
saying that three of OU's players, they do not have glaucoma?
they do not have glaucoma.
Oh,
They are using recreationally, it seems. And
okay.
they've been very tight-lipped on who it is. We're not going to name any names. I don't want to throw that kid under the bus or whoever it is.
You can find the names online if you want
Yeah,
to
you
see
can
them. They're
definitely find
everywhere.
those names online. They're everywhere. Nothing has been said officially by Oklahoma, but it's out there.
Yeah.
They he When asked one of the running backs if they were playing, Lincoln Riley simply said, "Kennedy Brooks is playing this game." So
By process of elimination.
there are some very easy things for you internet warriors to go figure out. You can find those names very easily.
That's right. And we won't give you any hints like it's a defensive end, wide receiver, and running back. But
Yes, none of
yeah,
those,
don't
but
expect any hints.
you're
But
gonna have
there
to
you
do it
go.
all on your own.
That's right. Do your own
So,
research. We can't spoon feed you everything. Anyway, yeah,
I mean, I
it's
think
interesting.
to really, it's, I don't think they had much of a chance to win anyways. So to
Well,
me, this just
everyone keeps
gets.
saying that. And they're playing LSU. It's going to be a really tough game. But it would have been interesting to see
I think it would have been
how.
interesting to see them at full strength as well.
Yeah.
But since they're not, let's definitely use that to say if they do get beat bad, sorry, they weren't at full strength. Big 12 is better than the SEC still.
Well, see, that was what kind of my point, because the Big 12, we tend to kind of beat up on each other, and we saw that this season more than ever. I mean, with four teams not even making a bowl game, I mean, we beat everybody just kind of beat each other up. It would have been interesting to see the top team in the Big 12 go against LSU, who was number one for most of the season. It would have been great to see that, because
Yeah, I
I would have
agreed.
liked to have seen how we kind of stacked up.
Definitely.
From a conference perspective. I mean, now unfortunately our fallback position is Baylor versus Georgia.
And
And
honestly, we don't know how that's going to go either. I don't think Charlie
no.
Brewer might, he might not play in that game. He's still being held out on concussion protocol from the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, and that was a big storyline too, about whether or not Rhule even understood that he even had a concussion or was possible concussed in that particular game and still let him go out there and play. But which kind of took the shine a little bit off of the Matt Rhule love fest that a lot of fans were
Definitely.
having. But it's interesting. And of course, Baylor fans are crying foul because now they feel that they should have had the opportunity to play OU, I guess the same that LSU is, with three of their starters out. It would have been interesting to see how the championship game, especially since it went to overtime, how that would have shaped up. But, hey, it happens. Sorry, Baylor, but enjoy your time in a New Year's Six Bowl. So,
Yeah, and enjoy this great class you got. Yeah, you guys did so good. Good job, Baylor. I think this is your lowest class since Briles left. So you're keeping on a really strong tradition of failing. You didn't do it on the field this year, but you did it on the message boards and in the internet. So
and with Muppets.
and with Muppets. So we get to see the Muppets forever. I will say it was cracking me up all day just watching these recruits like not even touching those tweets, like they have no likes and no retweets because only a bunch of nerds could think that was cool.
What I want to see next year when we play Baylor. Oh shoot, though, we're playing Baylor at Waco, in Waco, aren't we, next year?
Okay, that just gives
Darn
us
it.
2 years to make more puppets so that we can do their starting
Yes.
lineup in puppets.
That's oh no, I was thinking, you know, what we need to have is we need to have like a full on the TCU like defense and a Muppet Baylor offense, and then just have a video of them just being mowed over by, you know, Wallow and those guys, and just be like, you know, sack by TCU. That. Yeah, that's what we ought to do. Is we need to have like Muppets, and like for our Twitter videos, we need to have, you know, like guys dressed up in TCU uniforms just sacking Muppets just and intercepting Muppets. Yes, just mauling Muppets. That's exactly what we need.
I hope to see it. Like, I mean, they've just given us 4 more years of just fodder right now. This is awesome. Like,
forget 4 years. This is going to live on in infamy. I'm telling you right now.
Oh yeah, it's definitely it's so great. Just Baylor, you do it to yourselves.
Well, and on that note, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. We want to thank everybody out there who's listening to us. We're available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts these days. Of course, you can find Killer Frogs on all the social media accounts. We're on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I don't think we have a TikTok page, but you get the idea. Also, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics and follow the late recruiting as well as the basketball season and the upcoming baseball season online for free. And of course, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we get the frogs up and we get to say,
no frogs. No frogs. It's 9:22 and Baylor still sucks. Leave that in there.
I won't edit that out.
Okay, good.